Okay. Hi, everybody. Gary V, compulsive public eater, food addict, and 100 pounder from, or 200 pounder from Colorado. Wow. Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor to speak tonight. Special thank you to Gail, who invited me, as well as if you don't like what I have to say, Gail can take all the hate mail and 10 steps and 4 steps. Anyways, so I guess I'll start at the beginning. I was born into a large Italian family in Long Island, New York, and basically, we Italians use food for everything from happiness to sadness to just because. So I learned at an early age that to deal with everything food, food, whether it be good or bad. I get hurt. Mom would have some kind of snack or something to help ease the pain and whatever, so immediately, anytime chaos or stress came up, I just ran to food. I had a middle brother. I'm the baby of five. However, my middle brother was my biggest pain in the butt. He loved to tease me about my weight because I've always been somewhat large, or as my mom liked to call it, big boned, or I have a big frame. So, so he would love to make fun of my weight. And his biggest thing he loved to do was poke me in the stomach and get me to laugh like the Pillsbury Doughboy. He thought that was hilarious. As well as he was very abusive physically. He was what at the time they called hyperactive, or I don't know. Dr. Spock wrote a whole book on it, people like him. And mainly I just call it being annoying or a pain in the butt. But so he a tendency to get the squeaky wheel would get the grease. However, he because I did not know how to defend myself, he would bully me and throw me down the stairs, punch me and everything. And I go running my dad, and this is like I'm 7, 8 years old at the time this is going on. And he would, and my dad would say, "Well, it's your fault." I'm like, "How can it be my fault? Because you don't know how to fight like a man. If you knocked him on his butt a couple of times, he would, he'd stop in a heartbeat." Well, problem is that I came to my dad for protection, and advice again is to fight back. And I at that time I was little, I didn't know how to fight back. So, I wound up, I might my dad liked to criticize me. I didn't have the greatest relationship growing up with my dad. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but he was never around a lot. He worked two jobs because he was trying to support five kids and so forth. So I never really spend a lot of time, and most of the times when we did, the quality time was eating in front of the TV. So, I mean, again, there's another point where I've learned to use food, as a form of entertainment or communication, whatever you want to call it. That's what I learned. So I wound up isolating a lot in my room with a bag of crunchy things and a six pack of something carbonated and sugary. And and that's how, and I would play my video games or watch TV, and just that's how I turned the chaos off. And that's how I knew what I knew to do, So, but back then, my friends did it, I did it, I didn't think there was a problem with it until later on in life, as I started to balloon in weight and my abilities went down, And I'm gonna skip ahead a little bit because there's a lot of boring stuff in my life. But I eventually got married to a wonderful lady. We were married for 26 years. However, we knew each other for over 40 because we knew of each other back in elementary school, in fourth grade. So, but she became disabled in I think it was 2005 with MS, and so our roles suddenly switched from husband and wife to caregiver patient. And that put a lot of stress on us. And me, again, what did I do? Because I couldn't fix it. So that made me frustrated as a man. I think we're wired and programmed to fix things. And when we can't, it's a blow to our ego and everything. And so to deal with that blow, I would eat. And, the only problem was is I didn't realize is that that moment of pain, that moment of relief turned into a lifetime of anguish and frustration and shame and guilt and beating myself up, which there's a vicious cycle. I get upset, I eat, and then I get upset because I ate, so I eat some more, and it's this ongoing cycle. Well, I got all the way up to 535 pounds, and for my wife, and I can't even care for myself. And they say you can't pour from an empty cup. Well, that's true. So what did I do? I tried to steal from somebody else's cup and use it. And when that didn't work again, there's the pattern again. I get frustrated. I go find food and binge and, and try to squash that pain. Well, I got so big that I wound up developing cellulitis in both of my legs to the point where I could not walk. I wound up getting hospitalized and getting put into rehab and learning how to rewalk and do things for myself again that I should have been able to do as, a grown man. This happened when I was about 50, 51, I think. And I should have had a control on it, but I didn't. And then so here I am, I'm disabled, I'm in therapy, I'm in rehab, and I've got a 100% disabled wife who's in a wheelchair, and now I can't even take care of her. So again, there's another frustration. And you can see the pattern. I don't think I have to keep repeating that pattern. You can see it. However, back in 2020, December 2020, unfortunately, I lost my wife due to a heart attack, not the MS. And my whole life was turned upside down. And that point, I was placed at a crossroads of, God came to me and said, "You've basically got two options because I've got doctors telling me in rehab that if I don't change something, I might, if I'm lucky, make it to 75 years old, maybe." And so I basically was given two options. One, I can continue down the path of death and destruction and see how far it takes me, which obviously previous history shows it didn't take me very far. And then the other option was I was given was to revamp my life. And so this whole revamping project, I wound up nicknaming it the Gary 2.0 project. And with that, I wound up getting gastric bypass surgery in December of 2021. And I to this day, I've lost 265 pounds, and I have a lot of non-scale victories, which I will share. But before I had the surgery, I went to my first OA meeting back in May of 2021. And the reason I did that is I'd watched those weight loss shows and stuff. And one thing I noticed is most of these people had poor thinking and poor attitudes. And that's why they were able to eat through, I mean, most of them ate through the surgery because they thought this was a magic cure. Oh, I'm going to have the surgery. I'm not going to have cravings. I'm not going to, everything's taken care of. Wrong. Really wrong. If anything, my work after the surgery has been harder than prior to the surgery. But anyways, the reason I came to OA is I needed to get my thinking right. It wasn't about the food. The food was the tool I used, yes, but I used that tool wrong. I wasn't using it for nutrition and fuel. I was using it to stuff feelings and to escape. That was my drug of choice, whether. And so after the surgery, I knew I was going to have to change my attitude and my lifestyle. But a lot of these other diets that are out there that I've tried them, the Weight Watchers and, eating for your blood type and right for your blood type and some other ones. And it's okay. They tell you what to eat, but they don't tell you how to control those feelings that come up and stuff. That's again why I love OA, is they give you the tools. Well, anyways, I basically crawled into my first Zoom meeting, if you want to say, or I clicked the 1,000-pound mouse, and that was all higher power because I joined on a Saturday night thinking, oh, this is perfect. There'll be maybe one, maybe 10 people tops in the meeting. I can handle this. I had no clue that Saturday night was a prime time eating night, which I should have, because that was a prime time eating night for me. And so I click on the meeting. Finally, after like three links, I finally get into a meeting. And the first person I meet is the host of the meeting or the leader of the meeting. And the gentleman extended his hand out to me and said, "Welcome. You're in the right place. We're going to keep looking." And here's where I knew I was being scammed. I honestly thought I was being scammed, or he was definitely wanting something. He's like, "We will love you too. You can love yourself." I'm like, "Who is this guy? He doesn't even know me and he loves me. What's this all about?" And at this point, I knew nothing really about OA or 12 steps. This is my very first 12-step program. And my 12, and so I had no idea it was donation based. So I figured he's a fat guy. He's just, they probably charge by the pound or something, And so he's going to get me on the platinum package or the deluxe package, whatever he's had like. But after many months in the program, I figured out, yes, he was selling something, but what he was selling was a chance for me to change my life and a chance to save my life. And the matter of fact, this gentleman is in the meeting tonight, and he is one of my best friends. And I like to say he's all that will be friends from the scale to the grave. I mean, that's the kind of friendships that are available in this program, especially if you stick around. And did he have any idea that I was, again, this is all high. Did he have any idea that first night that I was looking at surgery or that my wife had passed away? No. I didn't know that. And then after talking to him, find out he had the surgery and that he had failed marriage, and he had all these things. We had no idea, but higher power brought us together. And that's again a gift of this program is the friendships. And so, so now I've been in program, I don't know, 1,010 days, I think, something like that now since my first meeting. And one thing I want to preach, because I know this is a newcomer's meeting, and I say this all the time, is that you need to keep coming back. Every one of you is a miracle and is a superhero because you are doing something that most people won't do. You're asking for help and you're doing something and you're doing something and you're not fighting it. And again, I've heard some speakers call us a matrix of miracles, and we are. Every one of us has a story, and I can't wait to hear all your stories. But you have to stay around. And then you have to, once that miracle happens, you need to be willing to share it and pay it forward. And that's why any chance I get to for a speaking service opportunity, I take it if I can, if it's reasonable and I can work it in my schedule, you bet I will be there. Because I'm helping my recovery as well as other people's recovery. And I've struggled for years, and now I want to, higher power is giving me gifts that I want to pay forward. I also, through this program, got the guts and the courage to be able to go back to school and get my certified addiction technician certification. And also, and so now I'm going to go into some of the non-scale victories of this program that for me, and that you may have some of the same ones. Obviously, one of the big ones is being able to drive or fly without a seatbelt extender. Not having your stomach do the driving for you. You can actually use your arms and wheel. Having to actually scoot the seat up instead of all the way back to the very last thing, and being able to fit in almost any size car. Because of this program, I now work two. I have a full-time job and a part-time job. I'm a full-time customer service rep during the day, and then a couple nights a week, I'm also a registered behavioral technician working with kids and adults with autism. Again, helping people that are struggling in a different area, but again, a gift of this program is an unscaled victory, because when I came into this program, I could not walk. I was on a wheelchair. I had a walker. I had a cane. I could barely do things. I had caregivers. I could barely do any of my personal hygiene myself. And now I'm able to do all that. I don't have caregivers anymore. I mean, there's just so many gifts of this program. Yeah, the weight is a bonus, but I think it's being able to live the life that I never thought I could live again. I thought for sure, I thought for sure I was destined for the grave, which, I mean, someday we all are, but higher power is not done with me. And I was very upset with God for a long time for taking my life. But what I figured out through counseling, through this program, and reading and using some of the tools of this program, is that God took her away because I was using her as an excuse. And in order to save me, he had to take her. And I struggled with that concept for months, but I finally figured that, because I would always say things like, hey, I've got to take care of my wife. I can't eat right. I can't exercise. I got to be a caregiver. But what kind of caregiver can't even take care of themselves? How am I supposed to take care of somebody else? But I wasn't getting it then. And despite all the little warnings I might have got, I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. But now I do. And so yeah, I miss my wife every day, but I know she's proud of me, because I'm living a life that I think she knew I wasn't gonna be able to live with her anymore. I mean, we were both gonna be in wheelchairs together. And I mean, that was basically the plan. So, wow. Trying to think what else. That's a lot of what I had to say tonight. Again, newcomers, keep coming back. I mean, I can't say it enough. I mean, I've done everything. I've worked the steps. I have my sponsor who to this day I still, and I've done most. Here is an interesting fact. I love Zoom. And the reason I love Zoom is because I've done almost all my recovery on Zoom. It wasn't until I took my 2-year coin did I actually go to my first in-person OA meeting. I mean, and to this day, I've had the same sponsor since I started the program. I've not met him. I know he lives in California. I know that much. And I talk to him all the time, but I've never met him face to face. But him and I are very, very good friends. Zoom works. I mean, again, this program works, but you have to have the willingness to work it and be willing to listen to somebody, get out of your own head, listen to, get a higher power, whether that be God or Cookie Monster, whatever it takes to get started, and you need to get a sponsor. And newcomers, this is all new to you. I get that. Again, just keep coming back, because you don't know what meeting somebody's going to say something that'll change your life. Like, one of the struggles I have to this day, you hear people talk about food neutrality, and I struggle with that every day. And it wasn't until a couple meet a few months ago that I figured out why I don't have food neutrality, because my higher power doesn't think I'm ready for it yet. Because if I have food neutrality, I might think I have this program figured out and I don't need it anymore, and I'll leave. And then and then I'm going to go back to that unhappy life. So my higher power is protecting me by not giving me that neutrality yet. If you have it, that's a blessing. Don't let it go, because I fight for that every day. And one of the tools that I use in this program the most is the phone. And I always joke about this. The phone is not just for ordering food anymore. You can actually talk to people on it. It's very cool invention, but anytime, and I like to say anytime that I'm wanting to run for the refrigerator, I grab my phone instead of grabbing the refrigerator handle. And that's what these tools are, and they work as long as you use them and use them correctly. And then that's where a sponsor comes in. That can show you to what tool is right for you and when you need to use it. Yes, I do journaling and I do reading and stuff. I'll be the first to tell you, I'm more verbal than I am written or reading. I mean, I kind of wish the big book was on a video, because I love movies, but it doesn't work that way. But well, anyways, I'm trying to think. I think that's everything I wanted to say tonight. So I'm going to wrap it up and say thank you for allowing me to share. Again, if you're new, keep coming back. Welcome. Welcome to the return. Again, thank you so much. And I'm going to turn it back to our host, Jonathan. Thank you, sir.